Hello, 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 and welcome back to the RuPaul's Drag Race recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Leona Boris, and it is April, and we are still talking about Drag Race US Season 13, but don't worry, we are almost at the end. Somehow it felt like we went from 12 queens down to four like that, but we will be breaking down everything from Honey, or what was it? Henny, Ashton's Drag Queens. Yes. So very much looking forward to going through all of that. And I am not alone. We have for you today, of course, our fabulous panel. You just heard his amazing voice. It is Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I'm great. Yep. Like you said, April, just chugging along. And I still feel like we are probably going to be doing this at the end of April as well. But it's okay because we're here.
That's right.
We got our way through.
Getting through it together, all right? It's a team effort here.
Yes.
And our team would not be complete without the woman who is sitting, I guess if you're watching the video version, to my left. That's right. It is my left, but like the video's right. Whatever. Anyway, not important. Semantics. Beth Nixon, how are you?
I'm doing well. We are definitely experiencing the Snyder cut of Drag Race season 13. I feel like it's forever long, and which is appropriate because this challenge, the acting challenge, was the Snyder cut of all acting challenges. So it's only appropriate that the final acting challenge be that of the longest thing of all time.
Yeah,
season 13.
I'm like so interested to hear your guys' thoughts on the acting challenge, just like in general, the writing, etc. But before we get into everything for this episode, let me just go ahead and point out the fact that we said it's the beginning of April, which means it's the beginning of the month, which is a perfect time to become a patron of RHAP. So if you are interested in supporting all the wonderful things that we do here, consider going to patreon.com/RHAP or robhaswebsite.com/patron and consider signing up for the program. You get a lot of fun benefits, including access to our Facebook group, our Discord, and closer access to all of our little beautiful faces. So,
which includes like watch parties and Discord. I don't know about y'all, but I know that I'm planning to do a watch party for Drag Race on a Friday at some point. Might be even be this week. I don't know. We're going to figure it out. So anybody wants in, just saying. You can get my filtered reactions as they happen.
all the gags, the goops, live with Beth, with all of us. Yeah, as we embark upon this Drag Race journey. All right. Let's get into everything. So I think one of the big things after the elimination, and also kind of permeates throughout the episode because we get Simone having some more confessionals about it, is this concept of her being in her head, wanting to get to the top. I think coming from a house that is very successful, Gigi being very successful. So Amon, is there anything that you kind of took away from learning this about Simone? Oh,
there he is.
Okay. All right.
You were frozen, and I thought you were just in deep contemplation of like what Simone is going through.
It just everything froze for me. Okay.
But it froze on your face in a way that was very like contemplating.
Yeah, exactly. You were like,
So I was with Liana. I was like, oh, he's really taking a second to think about this.
But now I feel like I have to have something really substantial to say about this.
No pressure, but it better be good.
No, I mean, definitely relatable. You know, I mean, when you're coming just off of Gigi's season and she did so well, I mean, she didn't win, but I mean, she did get to the end and you want to be able to come home and bring home the crown and the flowers to your house and to all of the people that are looking up to you. And also to just be such a front runner throughout the entire competition, getting all of these accolades, all of this praise. It would be annoying to get to the end and then not get the crown. It's like, what did I do all of this for if I couldn't even squeeze out the win in the end? Of course, it's not the healthiest way to think about it because there are so many things that go on in these competitions that you can't necessarily control everything. So, of course, you know, logically, it'd be nice if Simone could just be able to realize that. But of course, when you're in the throes of it all and you've been doing so well and you keep faltering at the end, it's like, damn, like, is this really what I'm about to do to myself? I'm about to shoot myself in the foot at the very end of this competition. So yeah, it would suck. But I also really doubt that like Gigi Good and the rest of those people would be like, yeah, screw Simone. She didn't bring home that crown. Or maybe they would. Maybe it's in a very abusive relationship over there. Who knows?
Well, just think about it too. Like Gigi actually had a very similar run to Simone in that she was a front runner for so long and everyone mm-hmm. just assumed she was going to win. And then she kind of flamed out at the end of season 12. And I think a lot of what Simone is feeling is not so much like this, oh, my house demands perfection kind of thing, but more so thinking like, I don't want to have the same legacy as my sister, Gigi, who did so well, was a front runner, and then all of a sudden just kind of lost steam. And what going into the finale, people were like, yeah, if Gigi wins, it'd be great, but does she deserve it? I don't think she wants a question of does Simone deserve a crown if she were to get it. I think she wants a definitive win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been talking a lot about like the slow march to the end for Simone, and it seems like we are finally getting these moments of vulnerability. And I haven't quite figured out if this is just the primer for her to lose, or if it's just the vulnerability that we wanted before she wins. Because it's looking more and more like I would be over the moon if Simone won. I would love it. I think that she's a great representative of the season. But if Rosé takes this crown, I'd be happy for her too. Like, I just, you know.
Oh, yeah. Somebody made a really good image of the final four that has like their placements and all that kind of stuff. And it's really interesting to see, you know, you have Simone, who has either been top of the top or bottom of the bottom. It's been very rarely in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you have someone like Rosé, who has just been consistently either top, high, won the challenge, that kind of thing. You have someone like Mick, who has been a couple wins, but more so in the middle area. And then you have Candy, who has had this kind of opposite run, but, you know, is, I think, represents something that the other three don't. And so this is what I think is like really interesting going into the finale, is this idea of how much do the wins previous to the finale mm-hmm. actually matter, or is it only a means of getting to the end, and then it's whatever you do in those last challenges or lip syncs mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. It's so wild to me, because I remember going into the season thinking Simone's gonna win first episode, all right, Simone's gonna win second episode, Simone's gonna win. Okay, but now in retrospect, like looking at where we are and thinking about the final four, I mean, Gottmik, Rosé, and Simone, I think all have a really good shot at winning the competition. Based on the editing, I have a feeling like where I think it's between really Rosé and Simone. I think Gottmik mm-hmm. is this journey of discovery. And even in this episode, we like get hit over the head with this concept of, oh, I didn't even know that I could act. Like maybe I could pursue acting, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like whole growth arc, which does make me feel like it's more on the Rosé Simone side. But I did not imagine that I would be at a place where I felt like the finale is so open, and even Candy of all people could possibly, depending on how it's structured, end up stealing a win, which is just like baffling to me. But I'm having
time out. What would you all do? No offense to Candy Muse out there, if Candy wins this season,
I would be shocked.
I don't think that's good for her. I'm gonna be honest, I don't think that's good for her. I think she deserves an arc on an All Stars where it's like she comes back and just absolutely murders the competition.
It would have to be something, like Leona just said, it would have to be something substantial for her to get the win. We're talking like Sasha Velour-esque type deliveries and performances in order to get people on her side. Yeah. I mean, I love Candy. I've been championing Candy since episode one. I'm a big fan. She was my winner pick. It's been a journey with her. I would be interested to see if there's anything she can do. Maybe. I mean, we were probably getting a final four episode, right? Like, I don't know. She needs one more win, I feel like. And if she's able to get a win in the final four, then maybe, because then she will be tied with Gottmik. So, but then she's also been in the bottom twice. But then again, so has Simone. But Simone has four wins. It's just, I don't know.
It's a whole thing. This is what's interesting. And then Lonnie Love actually tweeted out four images where I thought this was absolutely how I view this final four. Which has Simone for charisma, Gottmik for uniqueness, Candy for nerve, and Rosé for talent. And I'm like, that's actually 100% how I feel. I feel like some years, like, we try really hard. Like, even last year, trying to, like, fit the... We're like, oh, well, clearly Crystal Method is uniqueness. And, you know, like, we were trying to, like, figure out where they go. But, like, this, for me, is, like, the clearest it's ever been for having four people who really just shine so well in one of those four, like, categories. And so, interesting to see what happens.
Do we think it was just... they wanted Candy here for TV, and that was it. That's the only reason that she's here. Because
no,
I want to believe that there's more to it. But I mean, when I was looking back at some of the runway looks that she's done, I think she started off so well. But over the past couple of weeks, some of these runways have just been like, "What are you doing, sis?" Yeah. Like, and not to say that the runway should, you know, send her home, but it's just like, yeah, why did she get saved? Why? Is Olivia going home really the right thing, since Olivia has a stronger track record than Candy? Also, Candy didn't really have a big role in this. Like, I was so shocked that Candy wanted the role that she chose in this challenge when it was so small. I'm like, well, you wanted this? This is the role that you thought was going to, like, save you and get you a win? Like,
right. Well, that and the fact that Candy and Simone were fighting over the same role, I was like, wait, why are you fighting? It's like when you, like, your friends are fighting over this, like, trash guy, and you're just like, I'm sorry, we don't need no scrub. Like, what are you doing here? Why?
I don't condone any of the hate that Candy has been getting, and I love the fact that she's been, anybody could get it on Twitter from her. Like, she will defend herself to the, again, I love that. I don't think anybody should be sending her hate, but at the same time, I think I'm starting to share those thoughts where I'm like, but girl, why? Like, why did you get, like, why are you here? Like, it feels like there are other people that would have been doing so much better than you that should be here over you. And I don't understand why you're here. Is it just about TV and personality? Because it's like, I'm not really looking at these episodes thinking, thank God Candy's here. Like, I'm not really getting that either. So it's just like,
it's nobody wants the silky Roxy Andrews edit. And that's my point, is that I don't think it's good for Candy to win. And it's not because I don't think Candy isn't talented and all these other things. I just don't think that, and screw the statistics portion, right? Because we've looked at, how many times have we questioned RuPaul's taste in this competition? So, like, forget the statistics.
This episode,
right?
With that little mustache.
I mean, okay, that is a moment we need to discuss. You can tell, even RuPaul is like, this is the longest season of all time. I grew a stupid mustache for this. So it's not like a real one.
I was just like expecting each week it would get longer, and then there's like a handlebar, and then it's like the one with like the glasses and the fake nose. Like,
oh my God, mutton chops is with it too. Exactly. Yes.
By the end, it looked like Abraham Lincoln. I don't know.
That would have been hilarious. You really should have leaned into that, because, I mean, you didn't done this, like, what, this 13 times now that you've done this. Like,
yeah, next week will be number 14. You have a built-in, like reason to have, like, fully grown facial hair at this point. Like, that's so funny. Yeah. Oh my God.
Sorry to derail you. But yes, to the point of no one wants the silky nutmeg ganache edit, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just unfortunate. But, and that's the thing is like, well, we didn't hold it against, it's not Silky's fault necessarily. It's not Candy's fault necessarily. But yeah, you don't want that queen to get the, unfortunately, the hate that may happen if she were to win here, unless there's something just absolutely so dramatic that happens that completely shakes the foundation, right?
Totally.
But I think the likelihood of that happening is pretty low, especially because I don't know if they're going to do some type of live finale. That's the other thing. Like, I have no idea of what that's going to look like, if it's going to be more like the season 12 finale or now, because they can plan and they can set up, they can do the social distancing, they could do, you know, do a theater with a minimal audience, something like that.
Well, tell me you can't book a theater and have a whole bunch of cutouts of previous queens, like, an audience. Like, people would live.
I would love that.
Like, you need to be like, and here's Porkchop. And it's just like, Porkchop in a silhouette. Just, come on.
Like, you could do everything. Oh my God.
Especially with the way that these vaccines are being rolled out, I feel like having a live finale is actually so feasible if you just require everyone to get vaccinated, you know, like. If anything, provide it as an incentive to get people to get vaccinated, and you use it as a, you know, use the platform to be like, yeah, everybody get your shots. Mm-hmm. You know,
like, we support this, like, do this. Mm-hmm. Right. Not a bad idea. Okay. So I love this. I love that we've sort of gone over our overall thoughts on the kind of like where we're at. Yeah. All right. And we're done. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Great. Bye. This is the shortest podcast ever.
I think that's the thing is that when you get towards the end of the season, you can't help but start to take in all, you know, what we've absorbed so far and where we're going to go in this next couple episodes. How is the season going to wrap up? What is this going to look like when it's all said and done? So I love kind of stuff like this. And I'm happy that we took the time to really go over all of it. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we got an episode to talk about. Okay. Yeah. So literally the next part of my note says Rue's mustache. So I feel like we've touched on that because next day in the workroom, we get Rue coming in to tell them all about the Maxi Challenge, which is the sci-fi adventure movie, Penny Has Shrunk the Drag Queens. So I guess, like, overall, Beth, it felt like you had some feelings on maybe the length of this challenge. What overall did you think?
I need to meet who writes this. Because, and then who approves it? And if it's RuPaul, we just, come on. No, we need a second opinion here. We need many different drafts and then bring it to RuPaul at this point. You know, I just thought this was dumb. And I love the concept of like, oh, we're going to shrink you down. We're going to do this whole thing. But like, I didn't find the script at all funny. I didn't find any way that challenged any of these queens to go outside of their own comfort zone. And part of that has to do with how they selected the roles for themselves. I really wish this had been a situation where it's Final Five, production is choosing the role that you're going to have. And they all had to do something different because all five of them played the character they already played the entirety of the season.
That was the question that I had because they were like, Rue said something on that. Like, when you read the script, you'll find out that some of these people might be very familiar. And I couldn't tell at all if there was references to themselves or to past seasons. Like, I was like, who is supposed to be who here? Who are the familiar people?
I was like, I am such a terrible Drag Race fan. I have no idea what this means.
I mean, I feel like if I sat down and thought about it more, I could probably figure it out. But I feel like you don't want that to have to happen. You should be able to know immediately who it is. And maybe it was execution because the queens were just sinking into the regular characters, like Olivia was just being herself. And as Olivia stated about Simone, she was just using the fat trip voice. So like, maybe we just couldn't sift through that. But even in the writing, I was just like, ooh.
Like, I think it's just that the characters are the five stereotypes of characters that they always have. They always have like the leader boss person. They always have like the person who's evil, the dumb girl, the like over emotional girl. And like, I mean, like I thought it was supposed to be along those lines, but I think that you're right. Maybe it's a reference to something else. I don't know.
Well, okay. So let's go through the characters. So you have Dominique Perignon, the one that Simone and Candy were fighting over. She was the mean one, power hungry and a little cray cray. You had Margarita, who was the smart one, the sexy, natural
maybe
born
it was
leader.
The drinks. The name of the drinks for the characters. Maybe that's what's supposed to be so familiar.
Maybe?
Wait, drink?
So what's so weird is that RuPaul at the beginning was like, you might know these roles. And then later Rosé is like, oh, one of the queens was like, oh, and these roles are very familiar. They hit it over the head twice. Like, why? What does it mean? What does it all mean? I don't know. So Margarita, Brandy is the sarcastic one, a real wisecracker. Chardonnay, the whiny one. Ginger ale, the dumb one. Really sweet, but real stupid.
Yeah, it's not ringing any bells for me. I mean, you're right that they are all definitely named after drinks, but I think that this further confuses me. I don't really understand.
I thought it was just the archetype of the characters. Like,
okay,
these roles are very familiar because it's like in every acting scene that they would get.
They would always have like these types of characters, I guess. Right. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, that missed for me. Okay, so Dominique Perignon, played by Candy, ultimately, is who takes that role. Margarita is played by Simone. Brandy is Rosé. Chardonnay, Gottmik, Ginger Ale, Olivia. And I think what you guys were bringing up earlier is so incredibly true, that they just played characters they played before. Not going to lie, Gottmik, as much as I love her and thought she was great in the acting challenge, she was also looked just like what she did for the branding challenge. And yep. Which was sort of that same kind of character.
Exactly. And like, here's the thing. It's like she was also Paris Hilton, which wasn't the same look or makeup or anything, but it was the same kind of like, there's a little bit of dumb in there, mm-hmm. but like also a little bit of wine. And like, then she's like morphed through the same kind of characterizations and the same thing. I mean, literally all of them could be said the same thing. Like, Rosé was doing the same stuff that she has done in every single, even when she played Nomi.
That's what I thought. It was like the butch gnome, and she's playing the butch sarcastic one.
It's just like, okay. Yeah. This is where I really wish that, like, I mean, how great would it have been to see, you know, Mick as the leader and Olivia as the evil one and Candy as the whiny one. And like, I mean, I think this would have been so much more fun if they had changed it around a little bit.
It was so like, so funny to see Carson be like, whisper to Michelle, like, oh, she's a great actress. Very technical. I'm like, over this? This is what you're like lauding her and applause for? This little corny ass skit? Like,
oh my God.
Just hand me my Oscar then, because I deserve, if Rosé deserves something, I surely do. Shit.
Yeah, that gave me flashbacks to when Simone was doing the branding challenge too. It was like, oh, okay, but now we're getting it for Rosé. So now it's more even the playing field between the two of them, because, you know, they both get the Carson, like a whisper around.
Very technical. Okay. I'm like, okay.
So technical. I think I fundamentally have a problem. Like, I can go through and I can pick little pieces of the acting challenge I didn't like. I just don't want an acting challenge at Final Five. Bring me a ball, baby. That's what I want to see. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, call me boring or whatever, but I felt like an acting challenge at the Final Five just felt so out of place for a drag competition. Of course, there's going to be acting and you're going to have to do these skits and yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, what is so fundamental about drag? It's the lurks. It's the performance element of being on stage. And I just feel like a ball encompasses all of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that was sort of my fundamental issue here.
I was trying to remember back to like, when have we had an acting challenge like this at the Final Five? Mm-hmm. And I think it was like All Stars 3 when they did it.
Oh God, was there really an acting challenge at all?
Yeah. And it was when Morgan had come back and they did like my best squirrel friend's something wedding thing.
No. That wasn't which was the one that was the Sex and the City one? It was so bad. Was that season?
I can't remember.
Was the Sex and the City one that was like completely garbage and the writing was so bad.
Well, this is what I was also thinking is like, literally any of these could be the Sex and the City one, where like, because they're, again, you have the leader. Okay. So you got Carrie. I mean, like when you do archetypes and such, but I
think it was All Stars 4, Sex and the Pity.
Oh yes, that
yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. Oh yeah, that was a stinker.
Yeah, that was really garbage.
That,
but
that
no,
was
the
awful.
The what was that? A Final Five?
It was. I think it was 4. I think it was with.
Oh yeah, I guess it would have had to have been at Final Four, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because my best friends. Wait, hold on. I just had it. My best squirrel friend's drag maid's wedding trip.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That is a mouthful. That's where they all play the different characters, like La La Land, the Black Swan. Remember, because Morgan was like hissing, whatever is the
it's
swan.
Just like, yeah. Swans hiss. And they're like,
what? She's like, no, they hiss.
And we're like, but maybe take the note rather than the fact. Yeah. You're in a drag competition. I don't think you need to be like, well, technically, swans do some sort of a hiss sound. Like, come on.
Actress. I'm a method actress. Okay.
Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah. So it, I think it was at the, was it the final four or the final five? I think it was at the final five. It's when Latrice gets eliminated. Yeah, it was at the final five. So All-Stars. Okay. So All-Stars are the ones that they've been doing acting challenges.
Yeah, and that's what... Stop it. But like, do balls. That's what we're used to for, you know, the normal seasons. Like, to your point. You know, like, I agree.
I think also part of it, too, and this goes to the length of the actual acting bit, because even Rosé comments on, oh, this is a fat script or a thick script or whatever, that when you only have five people, you want to fill that space and fill that time, you have to kind of write a whole thing. When it's early on and you write three separate vignettes, then those little skits are smaller and sort of feel like these individual little things, and it doesn't feel so long because, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the whole idea of like, all right, so... They're on the main stage. It's like a real Drag Race, you know, episode. And then all of a sudden Candy somehow has access to the overhead lighting switch, flips the switch. And then now that somehow ends up shrinking the other three, but doesn't affect Candy. And then the four shrunken drag queens have to try to hit the shade button to reverse mm-hmm. the overhead lighting, but end up through Olivia's supreme Ginger Ale's reading ability is able to reverse the shrunkenness.
Yes.
That's the concept, I think. Did I miss anything?
I think you summed it up perfectly.
The only thing that I liked about this was the little moments that were like Easter eggs. That was like, there's Dayla's lipstick and there's India Farrah's breastplate and stuff like that. But I was just like, you could have made this so much better and more concise, and it would have been great.
Yeah, it did. It did run very long. I felt like I was like, okay, can we get to the end, please? Can we just get to the judging and the deliberation? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we really need for Drag Race to have like the most wittiest comedy ever.
No.
But I also don't feel like we need to have stuff like this either. Like, why can't there be a happy medium where we get some like good jokes in it? Because I feel like sometimes it does happen. I feel like sometimes these scripts are pretty funny and I'm sitting there laughing out loud. And then sometimes we just get such major duds and I'm like, this is COVID. Like, I know y'all ain't doing nothing else. Like, y'all had time to sit down through this.
You can come up with a billion great ideas just from watching TikTok for like 30 minutes. Like, come on. You could write something better. And I also think, like, to your point, Aman, if we're in a pandemic and that's when you're making this, you can't tell me there's not something a little bit more relatable to what's happening in the real world that you can make a joke out of. Mm-hmm. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like, you can do that any year. You should do something that's like, okay, final five. If we're going to do an acting challenge, let's have it do like an acting challenge within the concept of like what we're dealing with right now. Cause it's so mm-hmm. different than any other year. You can absolutely make it funny and hysterical.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I liked that I didn't think I would like is them before the rehearsal and everything, when they were trying to plan out what they were going to wear, because this whole thing was shot on a green screen, and them being like, we're at the end of the season, we don't have much drag left, we're trying to create these characters, but we're pulling from the limited outfits that we have. For some reason, that conflict of, oh, is this butch enough? Oh, but it's green. I liked that. It felt very much like seeing the queens in their element, having to mm-hmm. go through the complications of the confines of the challenge. I actually really liked everything about this episode, except for two parts. One, the whole skit, not my favorite. And two, the Scarlett Johansson cameo that felt very out of place.
It felt very stilted.
You can tell she was like, I'm here. I guess I'm supposed to do something with you guys. Hi.
It feels like they got all these big names that otherwise would have said no if they had to actually come up to the set because of scheduling or whatever. But when you can just get them in their homes to get like a quick cameo, they're like, yeah, might as well. All you gotta do is sit there in front of your computer for like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we did get to see Colin as well. He's so cute. Ugh,
I know, right? Him.
See, I'm not. I don't think he's the funniest person. So I'm just kind of like, meh, whatever. Like, I like Michael Che better than him. I like their whatever.
The Weekend Update.
Oh my god, Side note, I saw somebody tweet. So obviously within the context of, you know, stopping Asian and Pacific Islander hate and that kind of thing, a lot of people have been called out in Hollywood for playing roles that are, you know, they're white actors or actresses and such. And obviously Scarlett Johansson gets pulled into that because she, you know, has appropriated that. And somebody posted a picture of Colin and Scarlett from Drag Race and said, my favorite interracial couple. I was just like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh. And that, well, so like, that's the thing is that even though ScarJo said, oh, and I've wanted to come and blah, 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 or whatever, I just didn't, it didn't feel as genuine as Anne Hathaway. It's bring back Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she was like, oh, I love this show. And blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, you love the show. Name a queen. Like,
yeah.
I don't believe
That's
you.
That's not Angela or Latrice.
Yeah. There you go.
And then, yeah, it also felt weird to sort of, there was the Black Widow references. And then I think maybe it was during rehearsal when they were doing the climbing up the rope or something. It was like, this is how Black Widow does it.
Maybe they thought that because I think Black Widow was supposed to come out around just now. Maybe they were trying to get a little cross promotion, but then Disney Plus went ahead and pushed it back further. So maybe it was just
they ended up having to edit things out. I'm going to hold on to that fan theory. That's if I'm going to take away anything from the podcast today, it's the fact that this was supposed to set up the trailer release.
Yes, because it was supposed to come out for so long. It was supposed to be like in November of 2020. Then it got pushed back to like March. And now obviously it didn't happen now. And it's supposed to be April. Now it's in May. Like it's never coming.
Now it's July.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Just give me the movie. Sorry. I'm a huge Marvel fan. So I like that.
Like, don't you guys have it? Come on. Just let me have it.
Just let me have it.
Okay. The other thing I want to talk about before we start going through all the queens and like their individual performances and their outfits and yada, yada, yada is the concept of, so, you know, in the workroom before they do the runway, we get more of Simone talking about, you know, comparisons to Gigi, blah, blah, blah. I feel like we've kind of addressed that. But the other thing that I thought was super interesting was Rosé talking about the reason why she was holding back and why she was maybe felt a little bit more cold. And she said, and I quote, because the fans might turn against me, which we talked about this a little bit with Utica and this concept of, you know, obviously wanting to be culturally appreciative and not appropriate. But this almost felt a little bit just more in general of Rosé being super conscious of how fans may receive her and wanting to feel like she is being so self-edited to the or editing herself to the point where she's no longer letting us get to know her. And I do feel like that has mimicked her journey of, you know, a little bit at the beginning, we knew she was a perfectionist, really good, very technical when she entered the workroom. But now, especially now, she just feels so much more loosey-goosey, having a grand old time, just chilling, living her best life. I feel like part of that has to be her success and her track record. Yep. Girl hasn't lip-synced since the beginning and has now won 3 challenges. That has to feel good.
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice that they are still, because I feel like we've had multiple conversations this season about like fans and how they make these drag queens feel on and off set and everything. And so I'm glad that we are getting to see a little bit more of an insight of like the meta of Drag Race, because yeah, the fans, as we said, can be very vicious. And it's crazy to me that somebody like Rosé, who doesn't seem like she's, I mean, now that we're beginning to see a little bit more of her personality, it doesn't seem like she is someone that I would not like. If anything, I remember at the beginning of the season, but like during the preseason, I was like, I'm not really feeling her. I'm not really inspired by her because she seems so reserved and cut off. And we were right. She was, because she wasn't allowing herself to be her. And it's like, so why would you want to hide any of that? Because none of the stuff that you are doing now makes me annoy you. If anything, I just want to know more. Now, maybe she is really an undercover bitch and diva. Maybe there's some horror stories that we don't know about. Maybe. But I feel like if that were actually the case, Drag Race fans would have found that out a long time ago anyway. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it would have came out in the preseason for sure.
Yeah, like we would have known all the tea before we even cared to know the tea. So
we got Nancy Drews on the case. All right, mm-hmm. we don't miss. Okay, is there anything else you guys want to address before we start going through? So I was thinking what we could do is I'm going to pull up the runway looks. But we can also talk about their individual performances in the challenge kind of at the same time. But before we do that, is there anything else y'all want to talk about while I get this set up? No?
No.
Perfect. Okay. So the theme of the runway this week was pockets.
So can I just say, when it first came out, I wasn't paying attention to what the theme was. And so Simone comes out and they go, what? And someone from the other room was like, Beth, what's the theme? And I went, zippers. Yeah. And so when Olivia comes out after Simone, I went, it's that
never
zippers,
mind.
Something else.
Still figuring it out.
Yeah. Get back to me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Simone. We can talk about her, like I said, both the performance in the challenge as well as the runway. So Beth, what did you think about her this week?
Okay. So I love Simone this episode. And I was really happy that we kind of got to see her really be vulnerable and really show this side of her that I don't know if it's because I've watched how many seasons of Drag Race now, and maybe they've just brainwashed me, but I do want to see some vulnerability from front runners. I don't want to see just a perfectionist and such. So I'm like, oh man, RuPaul really has trained me to want to see these inner saboteurs come out and have them face them. Like, wow, this is great. No, so I was really proud that we got to see Simone truly address and use the confessional room as it should be, which is like, this is how I'm feeling. And I feel a lot of pressure, and see her come out and kind of overcome that, not only acting, but with an outfit like this, which I think is so cool. The hair, the makeup, the way that she sells it on the runway is such a unique concept. When you're talking about pockets and she's just physically in a high fashion pocket, big zipper. And then just like this, like cool, like 80s, like rock hair. I'm here for it. I just was really proud of her. I don't think that she should have won or anything. Like, I don't think she was the best person this week, but I agree with her, being safe and all that kind of stuff. I really liked her this week.
Mm-hmm. I thought that the order in which they were given safety, she's in that third slot for me.
Yeah.
Like of the three, for sure, based on in total her performance this week. But Aman, what were you thinking?
I don't like it.
No!
Dissenting opinions. What?
It doesn't look like a pocket to me. It just looks like some denim with a zipper on it. I'm not really getting pocket, and I also don't like the hair. I would have preferred if she'd worn something else. Like, but I mean, I agree with you though, Beth, in that like I felt like she was safe this season. I think that she did what she had to do in this episode to make it to the top four. So yeah. I don't disagree with that. But this runway is just not it for me. Like, I don't. And also, I don't like the boxiness of it all. Like, and I didn't like it from jump. Like, even when we saw it in the preview last week, I was like, what the hell is that? And I was thinking maybe once I saw the whole thing, I'd like it a little bit more. And I do like it a little bit more. But yeah, this is not it for me. I don't like it. I think it's like one of her weakest things.
Okay, can someone explain? So I was actually thinking about this, Beth, while you were talking, which is is this the front of the jeans? Is this a jean jacket? Like, in what universe? So she's in the pocket, right? Yeah. Is like the concept. But then the zipper goes like my jeans. The zipper goes straight down.
Right. Like, is that supposed to be right next to the fly? Like, is that the...
See, I didn't take it as this is a specific part of an actual
she's
jean.
She's in a pocket. Right?
Yeah. I was taking it as if, you know, like you have like the pocket that has a pocket in it. Like on the one side, that's what I kind of got from this, but I didn't take it as like, well, that is exactly then where the zipper goes next to the pocket. Like, I wasn't taking it like that.
literally make a pocket.
I think that the zipper in the like Time out. Can we? I have to ask a question about zippers. I have to interrupt myself. Is the zipper the little thing that you pull, or is it the track?
I think it's the whole thing. So okay. It's the design of the zipper, right, are these two interlocking sides that come mm-hmm. together when you push the little like handholdy zippy thing, right? That's like,
well, would
that's
you
like
call
the tool that
zipper?
Pushes the two together. I think you need all three pieces for it to be a zipper. Like okay. You can't have individual pieces. Like it's three pieces that come together gotcha. That make a zipper.
Okay. See this? Okay. I had to defer to
zipper
Leanna.
Logistics.
She's a woman in STEM. She's a woman in STEM. I had trust Leanna's opinion.
Because I think the patent, this is going to be so fucking nerd. The zipper, but well, hold on. You go and then I'll let you know.
I just, yeah, I mean, I this is certainly a unique look. Definitely. I just, there's something off about it to me that I can't quite understand. But I mean, it's,
I just like it because it invokes like this wide leg that we're seeing coming back specifically. Like people are coming up back with bell bottoms, but she has like this huge wide leg on both sides. I love that the zipper creates kind of like a curved effect because it distracts you from like the fact that it's not super fitted. Mm-hmm. But it is. And that's what I think is really interesting is that like you're constantly just within a second of looking at it, flipping back and forth, being like, is it baggy? No, it's fitted. It's both. What's
I
happening?
Totally see the pocket within a pocket design now that you said that. I totally yeah. can see that now. So that makes me feel a little bit better. But I still am just like,
No. And that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the patent for the zipper is all three pieces together. Here it's the concept of the interlocking design with the thing that closes it. So, okay. So that's what technically a zipper is. So technically this is not a zipper because it does not include both sides. That's why the theme, Beth, was pockets, not zipper. Duh. Obviously.
Could you imagine if I had said it's zippers? And then one of my friends was like, technically it doesn't have the other track. So therefore it's not
it's
a zipper.
Definitely something that Michelle Visage would say. Like she'd be like, so where's the other part of the zipper?
Yeah, where's the rest of the zipper? This would have been cute if it had been a makeover challenge and then it was the two of them and then they could zip together. How adorable would that be?
Okay, I'm sorry.
If you were going to be on Drag Race in the future and you were listening to this podcast right now, first of all, become a patron first because that'd be great when you're on. But secondly, it would be even better if you were able to do that for some kind of makeover twin challenge. Thank you very much. Bye.
And goodbye. I think for me, I almost maybe would have preferred it. Well, I don't know. I love the concept. I love the idea of the look, but I do kind of agree with Amon. There's something about the execution that just feels a little, I don't know, maybe it's unfinished. Maybe it's, I don't know. There's just something to it that just definitely feels a little bit off. The hair does really not match at all whatsoever, but I like the hair separately. I just feel like maybe then on the garment, put some type of red, orange embellishment. I guess maybe the zipper is supposed to be that color, but at least in the lights that we see, it doesn't quite come across that way, but I like it overall.
Simone clearly said, y'all have suffered too much with red, white, and
let me torture you.
I'm gonna torture you just a little bit, but I'm not gonna tie it in anywhere else. Lest you think I am Tina Burner.
Tina Burner does not own flames or whatever. Okay. So the other thing about Simone for the acting challenge, and one of you mentioned it, but the whole flag factory voice, and even I think mm-hmm. Olivia clocked it too in the Olivia clocked it in the rehearsal. Oh well, mm-hmm. Simone's just doing that same voice that she does.
Okay, all of the confessionals were queens calling out other queens for things they all do. I'm like, you are all like pots calling the kettle black.
At this point.
Mm-hmm. Like Olivia saying that when she fully was just doing this voice again and mm-hmm. Candy doing it when she was just like, bah, 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 bah. I mean, it's just like you all did it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is that they were all doing it because when Olivia said that, I said, okay, but Olivia, you're doing it. And then, Gottmik calls out Olivia and then, so it's just it's sort of this circle of everybody calling each other out for doing the same thing. But yeah,
do you think the producers were mad that they chose roles that they all clearly had already played or were they like, this is a perfect way to create drama?
I don't know what they expected.
Yeah, I felt like the only contention was Candy and Simone, and everybody else is just happy to take whatever they were going to take. So it's just mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Very weird.
I don't know.
But whatever, girl, you were safe.
So you do you. Okay, Olivia is next up here, and this is the outfit that I think is absolutely gorgeous, but as Beth was confused about, does not necessarily scream pockets or zipper. I guess. Right.
Pockets.
But Amon, I think she looks gorgeous here.
No, it's a beautiful garment. Her legs look so great in this outfit, too. Like, I think I just love everything about it, but... Is it screaming pockets? No. I mean, they are some big pockets, but like, I wouldn't know that they were pockets unless she put her hands in there. Like, I would have just thought that it was just a part of like a bow on the
dress.
Are
they actually, you know, pockets, I mean? Or no? Or is it just she's hiding her hands in the bow?
It definitely seems like it just could be hiding her hands in the bow, but I mean, they could also be pockets. Like, I mean, what's the patent for the pocket? Like, as you can,
how many pieces of fabric? Your hand
we there. Are literally turning into a seamstress 101 kind of class here. Like, if you are interested in learning a little bit more about fashion, we're not the people to talk.
No, not that.
And yeah, I mean, I think that for the acting challenge, it was more of the same, and mm-hmm. she couldn't really seem to break out of that, and I don't know why she would go for this particular part when she just got scolded in the roast for doing this. Like, you mm-hmm. like, what was going through your brain that you thought that this was going to be a good idea? You totally should have been fighting for the role that Candy and Simone were fighting for. Totally mm-hmm. should have yeah. been mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's this idea of, well, it's too late to take risks. I want to do something I know I'm good at. But literally the last week you got told off for doing this. So that should tell you that it doesn't matter.
Maybe she thought that Candy was going to go home. I mean, if I'm Olivia and I'm thinking about the wins that I have, I'm definitely like, oh, well, there's a chance that I could end up in the bottom again. But Candy for sure has to go now, right? Like, I have two wins. She only has one. She's been in the bottom twice.
She was technically already eliminated once, right?
Right. So. Like, she's got, like, they're not going to let her in the final four, right? Like, I would be thinking the same thing. So maybe you're right. Maybe she was just like, you know what? I'm just not going to take that big of a risk because I know that I'm probably going to stay. And then her ass went home.
Yeah, like, so. I'll just beat her in a lip sync challenge. I don't know, whatever. I do feel a little bit, and this is with Olivia in Untucked after receiving some of the critiques. I feel like sometimes she doesn't quite listen. She doesn't quite actually hear and process the critiques that she's receiving and learn how to change and turn that into something. And I think that's probably something that comes with age, comes with maturity. She's very young and is, you know, hasn't been doing drag for all that long. And I would love to see her back possibly on an all-star season, because I think, like a lot of the queens said, she has a lot to learn, even though she's already stunning. I mean, she looks freaking gorgeous mm-hmm. here. The makeup, mm-hmm. the garment, the hair, everything flawless. But from that perspective of this, taking critiques, learning how to apply them and then changing, I think that's something that she'll learn if she has not learned already.
Yeah, right. It's exactly how I feel about Olivia. I think that she's an incredibly talented queen. She came out here and just defied expectations that even her own peers had for her. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I necessarily 100% jump on what the other queens were saying with Olivia, which is like, yeah, you're talking about wanting to like explore, and exploration's great, but that isn't what a winner should be. Like, they all kind of like jumped on
that. Oh, yeah, that was weird.
I was just like, I kind of feel like the person who wins is typically the one that maybe has explored the most in some circumstances, who has kind of found other ways to unlock who they are. Not everybody comes on the show and is a Bianca Del Rio who's just already the full package to win, mm-hmm. right? So many of the people who have been on the show and have like overcome things and have pushed boundaries and such that they didn't even realize. And then in the same stroke, you're going to have Gottmik say like, I didn't know I could be a stand-up comedian and I didn't know I can act and all that stuff. And like, no one's saying the same thing about Mick. So mm-hmm. what's happening here? So
yeah.
But I don't know. I thought she looked gorgeous. I love her in like this like white platinum blonde kind of yes. like wigs and such. And she, this, the color scheme, the makeup and the hair. Well, that's the color of the hair reminded me a little bit of when she did like that kind of like Beethoven outfit, Mozart outfit kind of thing, mm-hmm. like earlier in the competition. So when she came out, I obviously was like, oh my God, this is stunning. But I don't know if it meets pockets. And I don't know, like, it's not something that's I'm blown away that she's wearing because it's not like shocking me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my, you know, the whole meme of, oh, I love your dress. Thanks. It has pockets. Like, that's me. I'm that. I'm that girl. And I would love a dress like this where all of a sudden I can be like, and it's got pockets. So I don't know if that's really what she was going for, but she didn't really convey that on the runway because that's like a very specific, like, I know what that looks like as someone who's done that before. So it really doesn't meet the requirements of the challenge for me, even though she does look gorgeous. So that's anyway.
Also, I need a drag queen sometime to make that a part of like their characterization sometime in a sketch or on a runway or something like that. Because
what? And the pockets?
Yes. The amount of things like women's clothes that don't have pockets or appropriate, like I need people to make suit jackets with pockets in them for women, because I'm sorry, I don't want to carry around a wristlet or something at events. I want to be able to like put in my cell phone and like a list of all the people who are working. Okay. And like have all that stuff when I'm working and put them in a pocket and instead of carrying them around all the time. Oh,
my, the thing though, I hate the most are the fake out pockets. The pockets that look like they're pockets.
Yeah.
They're not
those
pockets.
Are crazy.
That's just rude.
It's just like, why do it?
I spent $80 thinking I was going to pull apart a thread and there'd be a real pocket there, and it's not.
No, 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 no. No pockets. Women don't have things.
It's like, I feel like it took more effort to like fake the pocket than just make the pocket.
Right?
Who made it? Some drag queen who doesn't know how to sew on Drag Race? Come on, give me a pocket.
And you don't know how to sew? All right. Let's talk about Rosé. Speaking of pockets, girl's got plenty of pockets here. And she also has a little bit of a reveal, although I wouldn't say it's like the main part of the garment. But she's rocking this sort of 60s mod pockets look. Aman, what did you think about Rosé?
I love this look. This is exactly what I was looking for when they said pockets. I was like, oh, so somebody's going to come out with pockets everywhere. And that's the fantasy that I would want it to feel. And she gave it to me. It, of course, I love the whole mod 60s era. The hair, the makeup, everything works for me. I love it. She comes out and she's twirling and she takes off the jacket and then there's more pockets. Like, I kind of wanted her to open the pocket to find another pocket. Like, I just wanted pockets and pockets and pockets and pockets. And I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is obviously very clearly pockets. When Michelle was like, and we can see your neck. I was like, yeah, we can see your neck. Hooray.
Yeah. I love that. This is exactly what you want to see, right? From somebody who is another potential front runner in the competition, which is to wear something that you're not expecting they're going to wear and pull it off and have it be fun and not feel like, oh, this isn't Rosé. I felt like she came out and this was still Rosé. Like, I didn't feel like this was some different queen. And that's what I really appreciated about it. I love the outfit. I love the pocket look. I liked the reveal. I liked everything. The only thing I don't like is Rosé's makeup skills here.
I like it.
I like what she's going for. But I don't think the execution is quite there. I've noticed this the past couple times, and if this is her intention, I'm totally there for it, because I don't think that femininity and masculinity have to look a specific way. But she does not paint femininely, and if that's what she's going for, then great. But we have seen her paint quite femininely in the past, and so this is, I'm getting a little like it's too angular in like the jaw area and all this, like it hasn't like softened up, if that makes sense. That again might be what she's going for, and if it is, then that's fine. But for like this 60s kind of mod look, it was like the concept was there, but I just didn't think the execution was quite there for me.
I think it's the jaw and the chin for me.
Yeah,
that if you're looking to soften that up, that's where you go. But, you know, I mean, I think also part of it is just knowing that Rosé is like has such masculine, like heavy brow.
Totally.
Dude, like the fact that then when you transform, she can do that, I think is really impressive. And
And I think part of that also would be you have to be able to distract people a little bit then if that's not what you're going for. And she has nothing underneath her eyes. Mm-hmm. So like doing something here would like bring people's like eyes up a little bit farther. And then maybe overdrawing the top lip a little bit more. Just something like that provides like distraction from other angles in the face. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a makeup artist or anything like that. But when she came out, I very much got, like everything about this was so feminine. Is she trying to do something that's a little bit more genderqueer, which I'm here for, or is she trying to do femininity and just not doing it? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was trying to figure out. Yeah. But I loved her. I thought that she deserved to win the challenge, because even though she was not doing it,
I would feel some kind of way though a little bit if I won this challenge, like, because this is not like a skit to call home about, like. Does this win really match up with some of the other wins? Is this her second time winning for an acting? Yeah, because she won. Yeah, her wins aren't very diverse, are they?
Okay, so let's see. Rosé won. Let me see.
She won the Rusical. She won this. And what's the other one that she won?
She won.
It was a shared win with Simone.
Okay,
which was the acting challenge again.
Rusical and
the Bossy Rossi one,
that was the Pop Goes the Queens, that was the whatchamacallit, branding challenge.
That one kind of works.
Branding, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rusical branding, yeah. And then an acting challenge.
So they're all in the performative aspects, though. That's
yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the branding, like, in my opinion, was more performative than it was creation, in my opinion.
But yeah, I'm trying to think though, like what challenges have they had that have been, because we that have been real like fashion challenges. The one that Gottmik won, right? And then what else? That's it.
They've had two construction challenges. They had one really early, that Gottmik won, and then they had one. When was it? Like,
yeah, we needed
Elliot went home.
This is upsetting.
This is too long of a season. How can I fully know what happened in like episode 3 of season 3, but I can't tell you what happened in season 3?
Elliot
of this
went home on
season.
Snatch Game.
Oh yeah, Elliot went home on Snatch Game.
It was
Lala Reid. Oh no, Lala Reid
did one.
There was because the bag ball.
The other ones, okay. So they had the bag ball, okay,
which Gottmik won.
Which Gottmik won. Then it was the disco Minteri.
Oh God,
then it
that was
awful. Bossy Rossi, the reboot. Sorry.
Okay.
Then the Rusical. Then Snatch Game. Then Freaky Friday Queens, where they did the makeover. Pop Goes the Queens branding challenge roast. And then this one.
Okay, so they really haven't had. It's mostly been performances.
Yeah, so I guess. Yeah, so I guess it's not really any indictment on Rosé, but I still stand by what I said before, and that this acting challenge in particular, I would not be like,
no,
yeah, you got my third win, baby. Like,
no. You know what? This makes a little bit more sense to me, because I've had a lot of people say things like that. This season really hasn't had much to do with fashion, and they have a few people on here that really have some. Like Simone and Mick, and who have really interesting views on fashion and such. And that makes much more sense. And it kind of reminds me of, honestly, season 7, which a lot of people like kind of shit on. But I really think that season 7, the producers didn't line up who they had in the cast with the challenges they gave them. Like, you think of season 7 and yeah, you've got like Katya and Trixie and such, but you also have Violet Chachki and Miss Fame and like these people who had like really interesting senses of style and fashion. And you gave them a mini challenge fashion show and like the Hello Kitty construction challenge, and there was nothing else. So like, it's a similar kind of thing, I think, for this season, where I kind of now agree. Why is the final five an acting challenge when we've had so many acting challenges? Make it another ball.
I don't know.
I'm mad.
It's unbalanced for sure, I think.
More mad.
Yeah, I was going to say, unfortunately, we do need to talk about this. Candy's outfit. I feel no issue throwing shade at this outfit after all of the queens have thrown shade at this outfit. It was a Snapchat or the Instagram story of the designer. Who's yes, my garment, like I can see my garment, and then they're reading and they're like no, and then at the end it's oh my god, she's lip syncing in my garment, this is the best day of my life. So it was very much a roller coaster. The designer ultimately, I think, was like, you know, anyway, it was so funny.
Oh my God,
so
that's so embarrassing. Oh
yeah, I know. This is the best day of my life. Because
that to me is if you're candy and the designer is cheering that you're wearing your outfit
while it's
thinking.
You know. Oh my God, yay! Best day live. It's such an honor. Because this thing is so bad. It's so ugly.
It's very ugly.
And the thing is that even if it was ugly but it was flattering to her, then fine. It's like just even like flattering on her. It's just
I feel like the pockets are everywhere, yet I still can't see them because
yes!
I don't understand what's going on with all of the gaps and everything. It's just like, what am I looking at?
I don't know.
It's so strange.
It's also, there's just in terms of structuring of it, like, why are you going to give this illusion of linebacker shoulders and then have nothing to balance it out?
It reminds me of those things that teachers would use like in kindergarten when they're like teaching you how to sentences and like fix words and stuff like that. I'm like,
getting calculator pockets in the front of the classroom.
Yep.
Which honestly, if somebody had done that as an outfit, like pulled out the calculator and everything and just made that like fashion, I would be much more here for that than whatever this is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Give us Dominican Miss Frizzle. Give it to us, girl.
That'd be so good.
I don't even know. And then to talk about her performance in the acting challenge, I don't know why she wanted this role so bad. She wasn't really even in it. And then when she was in it, she was acting by herself, which I feel like that could be a detriment because you're not getting to play off of the other people that you're acting with. So you don't get to have their vibe. Like, yeah, you get to be by yourself. So focus is completely on you, but you kind of miss out on that fun interaction element, which gives your depth and your character depth. And it just,
she's somebody that I feel like really depends on the energy that of people giving her. So I completely agree with that, Liana. Like she's somebody that's very reactive and proactive with her conversations, right? So she would do really well in a scene with other people, whereas someone like Simone could be by herself and do that role and be fine. So like I actually, from the moment that they were arguing about it, I'm just sitting there thinking like, Candy, you have already gotten like a lot of people in the competition with you and the judges say that they love this one thing about you. You're at final five. Why wouldn't you want to show I have more to give to set yourself up for success, right? You just did a roast last week and won. So why do you want to be the evil person again? Like, I don't understand Candy's thinking here. And I don't understand, like, Simone was the only one. I know I'm harping on this, but like Simone was the only one who said, I want to try to do something different and then settled into something else. Then she comes out in this and I'm just kind of like, I didn't see you act at all. Actually, no, that's not true. I saw you act like a lot. Like I could see her thinking like, I need to act how evil I am. Like Candy, if you had just like been yourself, it would have been even better. Mm-hmm. But like you were trying to act like yourself, which was what made it even more of a disconnect for me.
Yeah, you could see it on her face.
Yeah.
But she tried to sell it with the doll out of the box kind of vibe, but it didn't stay in the box. It didn't work.
Oh, I love her so much. I just, these choices, man.
Choices.
They are choices.
Choices. Okay, the final look and final contestant that we're going to talk about is, of course, Gottmik, who comes out in the flasher look, but then when she's giving her voiceover and says, Beth, I'm inspired by the anybody want to buy a sundial? The guy from freaking Hercules? What? Dead. That's awesome.
That's amazing. My friend literally, when she came out and did that, literally goes, anyone want to buy a sundial? And then she made that reference and he's like, I got it. They were like screaming at the screen, but it was so funny. I love the concept of this look so much. I love that her like outfit is made of like the watches, the wristbands, the necklaces, those kind of things. I love that it ties together here. I love the reference. Mm-hmm. She, like I said, is somebody that I just feel like does an amazing job with presenting interesting concepts. Simone and her, in my opinion, have like these interesting outside the box kind of ideas about something that definitely fulfills the requirements of whatever the runway is. And I always appreciate, I can't wait to see what she's going to do when she gets on the stage. You know what I mean?
Same. Yeah.
So
I enjoyed this a lot. I love that. I love the Hercules reference, and it kind of like, because she's obviously not wearing what the guy wore. So, and it kind of reminds me more of like what the muses wear. So it kind of seemed like multiple references within one. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I loved getting the close up of the outfit because I didn't realize that there were watches on the dress until they showed it in deliberation. So yeah, definitely crafted very well. I would have liked the jacket a little bit more if it were as sparkly as the dress. You know what I mean? Like give us a more like golden trim, some highlights, because it does look a little pedestrian, just a little bit. But I still do enjoy it a lot.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the contrast between it being pedestrian and then the boom reveal. But yeah, I could totally see where you're coming from. I think her paint also just looks absolutely gorgeous here. I don't think that Rosé did such an amazing, outstanding job in the acting challenge that she had to be the winner. I could see Gottmik being the winner here.
I agree with that.
Even though it was a little repetitive of what we've seen before with Gottmik, she took direction well. The whole sneezing, the pretending to sneeze, then don't sneeze, then sneeze. I thought she was able to take that direction, execute. And then with this outfit combined, I mean, if she had won, I wouldn't have been mad. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I feel like Gottmik has been on the precipice of getting yet another win for a while, and I would not have been mad if she won either. Just thinking, I can't tell from this photo or not. So if you're watching the video, you can follow along with what I'm saying. So the photo on the far right, are the straps on around her ankle watches? Because her foot that looks like it's on the left, which I think is actually her right foot, looks like it could be like a watch face, which that is freaking genius if those are watches for ankle straps.
I wouldn't put it past her. She just has that attention to detail when it comes to fashion that I think is unmatched by other queens this season. And she's somebody who's really, really, really grown on me, and I've just kind of fallen in love with. And we didn't talk on this earlier, but I do want to bring it up. But the concept of representation in the media, on Drag Race, for queens like, Or even just not even drag queens, just people who have different backgrounds, like Gottmik talking about, well, if you're trans, then you can't be a feminine man. You have to be butch. You can't have this feminine side. Whereas that's who Gottmik is, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was really nice to see. And I feel like getting to know Gottmik, I have such a warm heart for them just going through this whole process. So
yeah, I'm glad that she's made it as long as she has, and that she's really been that, you know, that representation in an unconventional way, because you would sometimes think, oh, well, if they're gonna get a trans man, it's gonna be like the butchest guy possible. Like, no, you're getting a femme trans guy, and that's okay, because people are people and they exist on all parts of the spectrum. So I think that's just a really nice reminder. It's very comforting for me as well, because I'm someone that has struggled with their femininity. But as I've gotten older and I start to see more people just be who they are, it gives me the space to do the same thing for myself. So yeah, look, if Gottmik wins this season, I ain't gonna be mad either. So whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I think that the other thing that's really interesting that I took some time to kind of think about as well is that, you know, we have this idea of like what trans men look like, right? Mm-hmm. They look this way. But the similar thing that has been in the opposite direction is what you expect drag kings to look like, which is oftentimes are like a more feminine, like boy band kind of person, right? But not someone who's super incredibly masculine, which is why when Landon Sider was in Dracula season 3, it was actually incredible representation, not only for drag kings to be on a competition reality show, but to have someone who really plays with all different areas of the more quote unquote masculine side of gender. I love seeing that kind of thing. So the more that we're seeing people present their artistry in ways that kind of go against what our societal perceptions are, the better and more accepting we're all going to be afterwards. So I applaud shows like Drag Race and Dragula. I would applaud Drag Race a little bit more if they would, I don't know, like a little bit more accepting about other styles of drag and, and other people. And I know that they're starting to, but I applaud these kind of shows for putting representation, as a priority in their casting.
Right. And I think also not just to, so yes, to have the representation, but just to challenge gender and representations of gender so broadly impact all of us. Even if we want to say, oh, well, Gottmik is representation of the trans community, so that's great that they have representation. And of course, yes, absolutely, I'm happy for that. But I love Gottmik playing with so many different things and other queer performers playing with things, because it challenges my own conceptions of what I think femininity, masculinity look like. And I, like, oh, well, why am I like, why do I personally gravitate towards the style? Like, it's just so fun because it helps me feel more free in who I am and how I want to represent myself as well. And it's just so like, oh God, it just makes me so happy that these people are willing, that people are willing to go out there, put themselves out there, because there's of course going to be criticism and critiques that happen, but it just makes me feel more comfortable in who I am as well. And it just, this is why I love Drag Race.
Yeah. That's the point, right? Drag is supposed to be about using gender expression as a form of entertainment. Not only in the, in entertainment doesn't mean like, oh, I just sat back and I was entertained. It makes you think. It challenges what you know and what your comforts are. And because Drag Race has had more size diversity than I've ever seen women, for example, have in television, especially in reality shows, and has had more racial diversity, who has had conversations about what it's like to be queer and growing up in America, and has talked openly about intersectionality of marginalized identities. These things have only helped me recognize my areas of privilege. And it's also helped me as a bigger woman who didn't understand her, you know, how I fell on. I knew I was queer. I just didn't know how. Like, this show has really helped me over the past, you know, 7 years since I've been watching it, really helped me hone in like, oh, okay, I see this represented there. I can reflect on how I connect with this. And now I have a better sense of like how I can go out into the world and express that, if that makes sense. So I really do think that someone like Gottmik is not a tokenizing character, thank goodness, on the show, but is someone who has been able to come out here, be their genuine selves, share that with the world, and hope, and I think is making a huge difference to many, many people out there.
Absolutely. I love you guys. I love you guys. Okay, that's the looks that we have. Now there's one other look that I pulled, because when I saw this, I laughed out loud. And this was Utica's look for the pockets that she wanted to go with.
The Where?
Clarissa, Clara, what was the name of the cow?
Her name is Clara?
I could not believe it. So if you didn't see this and you're listening to the podcast version, so Utica has, for her pockets look, or what her pockets look was going to be, is these sort of denim chaps, which have a they're made out of pockets, all right? So that's sort of the whole pocket thing.
Okay.
But the whole theme of the outfit is cow. She's got the like a cow handkerchief and these cow-ish, devilish, I guess, horns. I don't even know.
Oh my gosh.
The first thing I saw was the cow print, and I was like, oh, the psychic was right. The psychic was right.
But you know what's also, I'm actually really not mad at this outfit at all. I think it's really intriguing. I love, so she's got like a lasso that's kind of tied around, like supposed to kind of give you an idea that it might be like a bracelet, but it's tied around to her. Basically, it's kind of like a belt around where her waist is, and these like tightly coiled things. Like, it's, that's so cool to me.
Yeah, it's very versatile. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate the hair. That's about it.
Anyway, I cut it with the cow. I was like, can you imagine if pockets have been the theme of the runway in the same runway as the psychic lady?
Yeah, that would have been some supreme editing there.
I know, right?
It also
moo,
would have
bitch, been- moo.
It also would have fully taken away from the psychic. We would just been like, okay, so she saw that she had that, or like production told her or something like that. But you know what? I actually find like a little bit more power to the psychic now that this is like
all comes full circle.
Wow.
right. Okay, guys. So the winner, like we talked about, was Rosé from this week. And that leaves Olivia and Candy as our bottom two, who do a lip sync performance to Strong Enough by Cher. Aman, what do you think about the lip sync?
I felt like Candy could have gone and I would have been okay. I don't think that either of them really gave me a lot. I mean, I guess there was the thing that Candy did throw some glitter up, which was like that sort of thing that I guess like pushed her over the edge. We've also kind of seen that kind of thing not work. Like, I'm thinking of like the Raja and Scarlet Envy lip sync, and Scarlet was throwing all sorts of glitter bombs everywhere and they still sent her ass home. So I was wondering if the same thing would happen to Candy, but I guess not. I guess I guess when it comes to Cher, if you make RuPaul feel that fantasy, then you're going to stay. So yeah, I felt like Olivia deserved to stay because of the fact that she had two wins. I feel like that's probably got to be a really, really hard pill to swallow, but when you have the rest of the girls ganging up on you, being like, yeah, Olivia needs to go, it's like, oh, I mean, it's kind of hard not to feel defeated at that point.
I think the moment she lost the lip sync was when she didn't give RuPaul an answer for a long time. Who was going to go home? I honestly think that weighed on his mind. And I think that we see this theme in Untucked, that Olivia didn't have the same fire to stay that Impassioned Rosé was pointing that out, that Candy did. And I think that with this lip sync, Olivia for the first half was way stronger than Candy, but then Candy did the glitter thing and then just really kind of came alive and sold it. And I felt like Olivia fizzled out. And I think that was just kind of poetic. And then
maybe it was strategy. Maybe the rest of the girls were like, she's got two wins, so she could really be a contender. Let's just get her up out of here. And we all, drag Candy to the end as a goat.
This survivor strategy, Big Brother strategy of it all. I would love that. And that's the thing is that we didn't really talk about, but I wanted to bring it up in Untucked, is the concept of, or the idea that they had to say each other's names, and that Olivia hearing her name and then, I don't want to say myself, but I don't want to say any of these queens. Pause.
Dramatic pause.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of felt there was a little bit, we're over this.
It's like, girl, do you just want congeniality. That's what you want. And you're probably going to get it. It's fine. Like, just say a name. Obviously, don't say yourself, because then you're just going to go home. I feel like if she had just said herself, RuPaul would have been like, all right, well, no need to lip sync. Sashay away. See you later. Just say a name and come up with any reason. Like, I'd be like, oh, this is my time to talk shit. All right. Well, Candy, what the hell are you wearing, sis? Get out of here. Like,
I think especially with the contrast, Beth, of Rosé afterwards being like, and Rosé, Olivia.
Yeah.
Not in no pause. Just Olivia. Straight in there.
I want you to know, RuPaul, that I hear you. I see what you're doing right here. Olivia, immediately. You don't even have to ask. Olivia. Okay, great. My turn. Olivia. I really think that we have now seen a couple of weeks in a row where we're seeing queens go before the lip sync even begins. I mean, we saw it with Utica. We saw it with Olivia. I think that's really what it came down to. And I think that makes sense, honestly. You're going to be asked that question. You've already asked it a couple weeks ago, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen again. You're at Final Five. Next week, they're going to ask you why you and not your competitors, that is the key part, deserve to be crowned. That is like, you're going to be asked those things. So learn how you're going to do them in your Miss Congenial way if you want, but you got to be able to answer it.
Yep, absolutely. I think that in what Aman was saying, I completely agree with that. Either of them could have gone. I don't think either of them did the most outstanding way to stay. And it just, to me, the writing was on the wall that Olivia was going to go. And I had felt that, I think, also just based on the editing for the past, the last week or so. So I had kind of written it off a bit. But unfortunately, we do lose Olivia here. And Candy is going to be in the final four with Gottmik, Rosé, and Simone. Which I'm happy about the final four. Actually, I want to go and take a look. So our countdown that we did at the very, very, very beginning of the season, let me tell you who our top four were. Our fourth queen was Rosé. Okay. So Miss Rosé here being, let me pull that up. I think that would be fun.
That's one check. That's one. We got one right.
One check. We got one of them.
I was
some of us were higher on others.
Wait till we get to Candy, because didn't that make her like 11th or something like that.
We're higher on some queens than others. So we have Rosé. So, okay. So yeah, Rosé at fourth. Okay. Then at third place, we have Candy Muse.
Oh, okay. No.
This is where, yeah, Beth thought eight. Mon, number one pick going here. In second place, we had Gottmik.
Wow.
Well, and all of us felt pretty good about Gottmik. Threes and fours across the board here for Gottmik. And then our number one queen is, of course...
Wow.
So we guessed the final four?
I know. We guessed the final four. And on top of that, we had Olivia in the fifth place.
No way.
Yep. All right. So our fifth queen here is... That's my computer background. Five is Olivia Lux.
Wow.
We were right on point. That's crazy.
Right on point. Yeah.
You know what? I'm proud of us.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Do we have Denali or Utica or someone like that as sixth?
We had Denali as sixth, Utica as seventh.
Okay.
So Utica was one
Tina
off.
Burner as eighth.
And that was right on. No, she was seventh.
Those are those three are.
Yeah, close.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so
I'm pretty impressed by it. My fans across the room, otherwise I'd four.
All right. A few other things from Untucked before we get out of here. The the whole Olivia Lux family video thing. I mean, obviously we got the story of her grandma, which is super cute, but I love the multiple takes that the grandma and mom gave.
Yeah.
I love that they kept that in.
They just need to. I mean, it's so obvious now. I mean, this is like what, the second time or the third time that they've brought in a family video.
The girl's
about to go home. It's like, damn. Like, it's like, don't bring that shit over here. I'm not trying to see my family yet.
Do it in the week that I know I won. Come on. Mm-hmm. I can't get over that Olivia's name is Fred. Out of drag. Yeah,
it does not. No. It does not.
It's not fitting.
It does not fit the fantasy for me. No, I'm just going to call her Olivia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big same. And then the other thing from Untucked is, you know, Candy's panic attack filling up most of the content.
I do want to talk about that for a second, because I saw a lot of people kind of coming for Candy and being like, oh, wow, like just trying to live up more of the drama factor. And I was like, I'm sorry. Mm-mm. No. Panic attacks are freaking scary. Anxiety attacks. Yeah. I don't know who has experienced them, who hasn't. I've had them a hell of a lot in my life. I didn't even know that that's what they were for a long time. Yes. And seemingly, I know what a couple of my triggers are, which sometimes could be like driving in a car. And I could be totally fine one second, then all of a sudden, it just hits you. And it literally can feel like, oh, I'm going to die.
Yeah,
I'm dying. Like, I feel like I'm dying. So I don't blame her for the pressures of the, like mine. I could just be sitting on the couch and all of a sudden it comes. Never mind, I'm in a really high stress competition that I think is going to potentially set up the rest of my career, that millions of people are going to watch and come at me on Twitter. Like, yeah.
In the middle of a Pantene conditioner.
Yeah, exactly. I really, really, for whatever your feelings are about Candy as a competitor in this competition, like, nobody is faking panic attacks.
No.
For attention. No. Especially in that format. Like, nobody is doing that.
Nobody that knows what panic attacks are like is doing that. No. Mm-mm. It's just not. Mm-mm. No.
And you can't fake, like, I don't know if y'all saw this, but at one point they showed her pulse at like 170. And I'm like, I've been there with that is like, you are working out. You can't fake that. You can't just get yourself worked up like that without having something going on. So just like, I don't know, just if you're listening and you were one of those people, like, come on. But I really don't think any of our listeners do that. Just
None of the people over here. Helpful.
Yeah, I think for me, it was like, I'm happy that they showed it. It was just, this is the evidence that the episodes are so long that Untucked then ends up being like you know, all focused on her. Which
it's like maybe she wouldn't be having anxiety attacks. Yes. Y'all would just end the damn season. Like, this is a long
I know. And then with cameras in her face while she's trying to get her vitals checked by the medics.
Cynthia Rehal just coming over and being like, how are you doing? You want to breathe? Just breathe for me. Which, okay, I need to talk about Cynthia Revo for a second. I'm obsessed with her. I love her so much. I love her so much. I've loved her
She's
from Broadway and every. So I mean, talented. She is so amazing. The fact that she got to go backstage, which my favorite part about all this stuff, right, is that they have her way across. She's still got PPE on, all that kind of stuff, right? Then they go, and then she's like a foot away from Candy being like, are you okay? It's one of my favorite things about it. But like, what a queen for her just to be like, not only taking the time. I love when the guest judges do that, when they go and they talk with the girls backstage, but then like spending some genuine time when they're trying to usher her away to be like, are you okay? Like, do you need to breathe? All those different kinds of things. And then side note, Candy was almost just not given the clear to lip sync. Medically, she tweeted about that, and imagine that has to also feed into a panic attack like you wouldn't believe, because like when you're having a panic attack, you can tell yourself, okay, I need to calm down, like logically I know I need to calm down and whatever, and it doesn't do anything. Imagine being told you're going to be in the bottom two. I mean, you know that you're going to be in the bottom two, and you might not medically be able to try to save yourself in this competition. We might have to tell you stop. Like, that's only going to exacerbate it even more. So I just, my heart really went out to Candy with all of that.
Made through it.
Yeah, 100%.
And I thought she handled it really well, to be honest with you. Like, she just, you could tell that she was just trying to do what she needed to do. Calm down and get it done. And
it was the perfect song. I mean, yes, girl, you are strong enough.
Exactly.
Okay, so we are here. We are at the final four, and next week we are going into the penultimate episode, at least for the regular content that's not the reunion. And the queens are going to be performing to RuPaul's new song, Lucky. So I'm looking forward to that. I've come to really appreciate these final four challenges for the performance of it all, and I'm looking forward to it. And then hopefully we'll get an indication of what the finale is actually going to look like, if we're going to get a reunion and all of that jazz. So that's where we stand going into next week. Okay. All right. Thank you everyone for listening along the way. And thank you to Beth and Amon, of course, for coming through this magical journey with us. Beth, where can people find you on social media and what are you up to?
Sure. People can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at AugustaWind11. You can also find me on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/AugustaWind11, where I'm podcasting with my weekly meltdown about the challenge of BB Can on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And then I'm normally doing some kind of gaming thing on Saturdays. And I've also launched a new podcast this past week, Hot Mess Moments with Beth and Dylan, which also stars my good friend, 8-Bit Dylan. And we are covering and doing a rewatch of The Nanny and Lost, two shows that make no sense together. but that's what makes us a hot mess. So please feel free to tune in, especially if you notice that The Nanny just came on HBO Max this past week and you want to go on a ride and rewatch it.
All right, great. And Amon, what about you? Where can people find you on social media? What else are you up to?
Find me at Amon Admin on Twitter and on Twitch, where I read some Harry Potter with Frail Mary on Wednesday. It was really fun. Definitely want to have her back. Of course, I'm still doing all of the stuff with Bryce over on his show, and my podcast with Matt. The Choir Room is still going strong, so check out all that stuff. And
yay, amazing. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Puya and I are podcasting about The Masked Singer, which has been an absolute blast so far. I'm really, really loving the season. And then depending on when you're listening to this, I will either be on or will have been on the Big Brother Canada Monday night recap podcast. So look out for me there. All right. Thank you everyone for joining us along the way. Like I said at the beginning of the show, Patreon, woo, 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 Patreon. And leave your star ratings and reviews for us. robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. Thank you, Scott, for all of your work behind the scenes. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.